Well, good evening, everybody, and really good to be part of the community here again. The last time I was here was about, we're trying to work it out with Paul, must have been about 2002. That's amazing, isn't it? None of you have aged at all, and that's after I've been to Specsavers, so that's all I'm doing. We're very glad to be able to share with you this evening, very much still with L plates on, we've all got them. Because we're learners, and if you imagine wearing L plates, the L also stands for loved. Mm-hmm. We're loved learners, and because the L is written in red, it reminds us the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. Yes. Mm-hmm. Because when it comes to sitting at Jesus' feet and being intimate, inevitably things will surface that are a challenge to us and need to change, but praise God we come before the throne of grace. And we know a Saviour who knows everything about you and me, and he knows more about you than you know about yourself. He knows why you do the things you do, why you think the things you think, why you react certain ways you do. He knows the history from the time you were small, how childhood influences can affect the person and your reactions today. He knows all the love deficits in your life from that background and whatever's gone on. He knows all the hurts and injuries, all the, regrets, I shouldn't have done that, Lord. So as we come today to consider the Lord and sit at his feet, learn how to do that. The L plates are there. Learn how to stop. Some of you are workaholics. Stop is not spelt G-O. And we need to understand from very early on, we're programmed through the educational process and Ofsted, you've got to do this, you've got to pass that. There's a lot of pressure to perform and achieve, to get your value-addedness for work and university and all the rest of it. So we live very much in what's called a performance-based society. To be accepted, I have to do or be something up there. The bar can be quite high, and managing that situation we find ourselves in could be quite a thing. Okay. It's Mental Health Week, and there's a lot of stress about, and the princes have put a new website up, and it's a big issue. NHS staff stressed out last year because of all the demand, you know, giving and giving and giving, and we can be wired as Christians to want to give, because we should, but we're allowed to breathe in as well. Okay, I just want to say that. Can you say after me, I'm allowed to breathe in as well? I'm allowed to breathe in as well. And it's learning how to do that, because over the years, I've been a very busy pastor. And I'm a recovering workaholic perfectionist. Now, for the psychologists among you, you've got a gold mine looking at that. But it's all tied in with needing to meet expectations. As a person, my well-being, what is it based on? What others expect of me and what I expect of myself. And my guess is that's true for all of us. So if we talk about stress and anxiety, you don't have to go to college to learn how to do that or to have it. It just is there, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It gets to us all, doesn't it? Yeah. Yes. We try and keep the answer simple. It's usually yes. Okay. So I have one wife, you'd be pleased to know, Jean, and two boys who are now married. We've got five grandchildren, Jean and myself, between us. Allegedly retired in Rushton. Not in paid employment, partial work, which is great because when you're paid, there's expectations around the word money that you have of yourself. You have to prove this and do that. Well, you know that if we're going to have a heart-to-heart time this evening. Been to Israel a lot. Some of you know Mark Hatto, of course, went with him a few times to Israel and all sorts of things in the church there. Traveled in different parts of the world. And praise God, wherever you go, you find out that people's needs are the same as yours and mine. Whether it's a slum in India with no material wealth compared with us, the need in the hearts of people to know they're loved and wanted is the same. And that's true for you too. You need to know you're loved and wanted for you, for the real you. And that acceptance is something we all crave. Facebook is all about image management and trying to get the friends list up because I've got 1,000 friends or something. So all of this is what we hope to be able to look at in a very simple way this evening and learn in the Lord to draw strength from him. And the more we do that, the more able, I believe, we are to relate to our neighbours who have the same need to be loved and wanted for that. Who doesn't need forgiveness? Who doesn't need reassurance and so on? So that's the sort of backdrop and thinking about your relationship with Jesus, just saying to Stephen. He's good at making soup.
I didn't make it.
Well, it was in a plastic container that you got from a shop and banged in the microwave. So it was bloke cooking, you know, sort of pragmatic. But anyway, some years ago now, we used to live near the ministry called Christian Solidarity Worldwide, and they brought over a couple of Chinese, three leaders from the Chinese church, an older man and a lady called Debbie Zhu, and they're responsible for 2 or 3 million Chinese believers, okay? And Debbie has been in prison for Jesus more than all of us who are native to the UK put together, all right? And when I asked her the question, or put to Debbie, I can see persecution coming to the UK, what's our strategy? Because she's somebody who knows what that looks like. And I was expecting, you've got to have underground house groups, you've got to have this. No, she said to me, she looked me in the eye and said, Peter, you, through the translator, your relationship with Jesus is everything. Your relationship with Jesus is everything. And in a darkening world with different changes in society and the moral norms changing through legislation, your relationship with Jesus is everything. Yeah. So too is sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, which is what she said. I respect that. She's someone who knows how to live in that pressure, not to compromise. But what we need to learn to do and be intentional about it is to make space for Jesus. Okay? So the aim of this whole weekend, it'll be coming up again and again, is to ask you at the word go to surrender your diary to Jesus and begin to build into that diary intentional space to have processing time with him, at least at the end of each day. Don't cram the evening out with telly or other stuff, but have time to review the day, reflect on it, bring to Jesus the things that have got to you, that you can thank him for and so on. And we'll work through a pattern for that from Philippians 4 in a minute. Okay? So just explained, you know the parable, sower? That was the right answer. Some of the seed fell among thorns. And if you do anything, it's about time of year when doing a lot of pruning these. When seed falls amongst thorns, the plant grows, but it gets choked by things. And in Mark 4, Jesus gives 3 reasons as to what chokes our relationship with Jesus. The first of these we'll look at this evening. And what chokes that relationship is the worries of this life. Anxiety, stress. I actually worried a bit about preparing this talk. But when it comes to it, the Lord's a great enabler, isn't he? So you think of all the things you worry about. Don't worry about it. But it can be health, relationships. Did I say the right thing? How did someone respond to me? I shouldn't have said this. Brexit. Huge political issues for the country and uncertainty. Anxiety is the fear or perceived fear of harm being harmed. So the adrenaline kicks in. It's fight or flight. Some anxiety is good because it motivates us. Too much, go under. Sustained anxiety. Difficult. If we don't process it on a regular daily basis, it builds up like what's underneath the tip of the iceberg and comes back and bites you in the bum days or weeks or years down the road. We're deferring in our minds all the time to activity and pressure and demands and this and that without having time to sit at Jesus' feet and process the hurts and the issues and the concerns. We'll fall over. All right? Videos and testimonies on how this can affect us are not hard to come by. And if you ask how long it took to prepare this talk, it's taken about 40 years, right? Because it comes out of the whole life and people you've heard out as well. So we're going to look at, please, Philippians chapter 4. And because there's a wonderful remedy in here for... Push that. Now, you ever been overloaded? That's what you call overload, right? And stress comes from being overloaded. And we carry things, we carry responsibilities. You've had a professional training. talk with enough professionals, social workers, and all the rest of it to know that this is really for all of us to take on board, right? And it's all kinds of people. So, yes, overload. You have been overloaded. Concerns, worries, right? And here we are. And this man is carrying a box of bricks. And at the end of this time together, we'll have a little schematic and exercise for you to fill in some bricks which have going to name your anxieties, all right? As if you've got any. And we're not in denial, are we? No, I'm not in denial either. Great. Well, that's good to be honest about. So let's look at Philippians 4, and there's some wonderful principles here to meditate on. I'm going to read from verse 4. Do you use the NIV here, Stephen? Should we read this together, the first, those verses 4 to 9? Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. And then verse 19. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. I think it's Selwyn Hughes, who wrote Every Day with Jesus, said, anxiety is believing that God won't meet all those needs. Mm-hmm. The needs are, we need encouragement, don't we? You think about the Lord's Prayer that is given to us. Doesn't it address three primary concerns? Give us this day our daily bread. It's provision. And Jesus wouldn't tell us to pray for something Father didn't want to give. Mm-hmm. You agree with that?
Yes.
So that in itself, when we pray that, there's an expectation the Father wants to meet the need. We need to do our part and be responsible, of course. But Father, please, give us this day our daily bread. And that's spiritual too. Jesus is the bread of life. But he's a wonderful provider, isn't he?
Yes.
So, as you think about this passage, it starts with rejoice in the Lord always. So, I'm going to ask, say, of an evening, about 8 o'clock at night, try not to do any emails after that, or 9 o'clock, because if you're still doing these at 10 or 11 at night, you're going to go to bed thinking about it, wake up at 2 in the morning and think, what did that person just say to me on email or Facebook? Or worse still, what have I just said that I think I shouldn't have said that? Because you can't get it back. 10 o'clock news is not a good idea, because it's not good news, a lot of it. And you go to bed on that, tired, and you get up at 2 in the morning, go to the little whatever, processing, subconscious. So I'm going to ask you, I appeal to you to consider winding down in the evening intentionally along the lines of focusing on the Lord. You start, let's look at the Lord. We've done that in worship, it's great. You look at who he is. Look at who the Lord is to you. Rejoice in the Lord always. If all you do is look at the issue in your life, and just look at that issue, and look at that issue. The screen of your consciousness is filled up with that issue. And what do you get? Depressed, worried, downcast. Bible uses the word downcast. And the Apostle Paul knew what it was. God who comforts the downcast comforted me with a coming of silence, I think it was. So that's how we learn. That's the appeal. Focus on who the Lord is to you. So we can rejoice in who he is, the great provider, but also he's your shepherd.
Yes.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall lack nothing. Can we say nothing? On the count of three, I shall lack Nothing. Well done, everybody. So it's learning then when we come and sit at Jesus' feet. He's very good with sheep.
Yes.
He knows you're a sheep. Mm-hmm. He knows the times you get tetchy. Sheep sometimes butt one another. Sheep sometimes will find the only hole in the fence that exists because they know best. Sheep, in fact, are not the brightest of animals. They aren't. Their coats get matted and long and they get stuck in the mud and they can't fleece themselves, if you like. They need the shepherd to do that. Sheep get tremendously irritated with flies around the nose and faces and it drives them to distraction. They beat their head against the wall and they have to come to the shepherd in Jesus' time. And they had a special oil, it's quite thick, and the sheep would come and bow before the shepherd and trust, and the shepherd would wipe this oil over the sheep's face and nostrils and it would repel the flies. Okay? He anoints my head with oil. He deals with the irritations, the hurts, the anxieties, the things that get to me, the angst. But when we sit at Jesus' feet, we need to come. We need to bow and yield and let him be who he is to us. Let him shepherd us. Mm-hmm. Let him tend us. Yeah. And we need to be honest with him about sometimes how we come to him. It's not, here I am, Lord, I've done all this. Sometimes it's, Lord, it's me, Lord. And I need to be shepherded. It's been a hard day today. I was talking with a local politician somewhere else who's in Guernsey. And round the house and just saying, what can we pray for you today as a politician? Because I have to read the equivalent of the Bible just about every week in terms of information. Mm. All these politicians pray for them, tough call. Mm. And I was expecting some answer along the lines of managing all this headspace, but he said, no. Peter said, I've just learned my daughter's marriage is broken up. Mm. Gutted. And somewhere in that, I'm just very glad he felt able to share that he felt gutted. Because men aren't very good always at sharing how they feel. Because little boys don't cry. Oh, yes, they do. So I think I prayed with him about that. But it's just to be mindful. As sheep, there's times there will be things get to you. Sometimes stuff on the news, you think, oh, you know. Gutted. And we need to bring the hurt to Jesus as well. If you're somebody who's giving out a lot to other people, if you're a carer, say you're a full-time carer for a relative, always giving out. There's times to say, Lord, and you're programmed to give because you get a sense of value or duty out of that. There's times you come and say, Lord, help, I've had it. I need your tending. I need your restoring. He restores my soul. Okay? So intimacy with Jesus is being honest with him. Psalm 139, he knows you through and through. We're amazing creatures, aren't we? A coordination of trillions of cells, that's quite an achievement, isn't it? Mm-hmm. And we won't use the word alleged coordination. In fact, you are. Okay,
yeah.
That's a teasing thing, the alleged. But it says at the end of Psalm 139, Lord, know my anxious thoughts. And what we need to do, brothers and sisters, is give him time and space and ourselves for those thoughts to surface. If you're a doer, got to do and do and do, you're always too busy to stop and be still to let those concerns surface. All right? So, for example, on the Emmaus Road, they're walking along, and Jesus is there, and they didn't realize it, these two folks, and he asks them a question. And this is where he's an amazing counselor. What are you talking about on the road? Now, of course he knew. But it's as though he says, what's in your heart today? What you're talking about today? What's going on? Mm. Tell him. And they stopped. They stood still and their faces were downcast. Mm. Body language. People on the train, stressed out. Body language. But isn't it good he asks the question? And he'll ask you that as well.
Yes.
What's going on in your heart today? I'm too busy serving you, Lord, to answer. It can happen. We're doing good things. But tell him, that's why we need space and time. If our heads always crammed with other stuff, it can't happen, that closeness. And often, too, in our lives, how many people have actually asked you the question? Sometimes parents aren't very good at asking us, what's going on in you today? Mm. Not just what have you done today, but how did you feel about today? See? My youngest son nearly lost his life, I think, at some festival on a cocktail of drugs and alcohol. Miraculously came to the Lord through that experience and is wonderfully restored. And praise God for that. And it's one of those things that it got me. And then when we debriefed and chatted it through as a dad, because I've always been too busy, he said, "Dad, I always felt other people were more important to you than me." And that was when he was 12 or 13. Now, praise God, he redeems us, doesn't he?
Hallelujah.
Yes. He knows, when we pray to him, he knows how to redeem situations.
Yes.
He knows how to work your and my situation together for good.
Mm.
He knows all things. All things are possible to God, our Heavenly Father. He knows how to mend us, how to restore us.
Mm.
When he said, "I'll build my church," that means making your family what he wants it to be.
Mm.
He loves us.
Yes.
Totally faithful. Despite he has to do what we can't.
Yes.
I can't make myself like Jesus. It needs his impartation, his infusion of who he is into me to enable. You know, if you want a cake to taste of lemon, you don't club it to death with a spoon till it tastes right. No. Flavor in.
Yes.
Holy Spirit enables that Christ-likeness. Amen.
Yeah.
But it's relational. Christianity is relational. And the Lord's very, very good with us. Very forgiving. Very patient.
Yeah.
Agonized over that situation with my son. And praise God in his faithfulness. Reeled him back in. And got a wonderful testimony. And it's amazing what's gone on since then. Praise God. So there's hope.
Yeah.
There's hope. He's faithful to us. But we can tell him, can't we?
Mm-hmm.
So the road to Emmaus, he asked them, "What are you talking about then?" And face it up. And they said, "Are you the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard what's been going on? All the things have been going on." And he came back with another question, didn't he? He said, "What things? What things?" He's a wonderful counsellor. Can you see how he teases out of your heart the things that get to you?
Mm.
"Lord, I feel a bit low about myself today." And you say, "Why is that then?"
Mm.
See? And you need to just bullet point it out. Well, it's this and it's that. It's usually an accumulation of things.
Mm.
List it out. And he always says something. It's all right. I love you.
Mm.
Remember when you're there in the presence of Jesus, you're in the presence of the embodiment of perfect love. And the miracle of that is that he loves you perfectly and me, even though we're imperfect.
Mm.
And we can't get heads around that because we tend to do reciprocity, don't we? Really, "I love you the same as me." But the miracle is he cares for you perfectly.
Mm.
"You are my shepherd," is perfect care. Perfect love.
Yes.
It's an abiding presence. It's unfailing love. It never runs out.
Yes.
And Father loves us as he loves Jesus.
Mm.
John 17 prayer. That's amazing. Hallelujah. Times I don't like myself. Thank you, Lord. You love me.
Yes.
How do we know? Cross. Just look at the cross. Can't deny the love of God for us in Jesus on the cross.
That's right.
Right? So we need to give him time each day to counsel us, time to offload, time to draw down, remind ourselves, the Lord is my shepherd.
Mm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
You just think, the Lord upholding me, he is my shepherd.
Mm.
Whoa. I'm going to hold his hand through today. Follow me, he says. Yeah, he anoints my head with oil, my cup overflows. It gives me victory in the presence of my enemies.
Yeah.
If I've messed up, his goodness and mercy follows me.
Yes.
He goes before me. He's all, hallelujah. We just got to say hallelujah.
Yeah.
So when it comes to these quiet times, remember who he is to you. Let him be who he is to you. All right? So that's why we rejoice in the Lord always. Because whatever you're going through, he always is who he is to you.
Mm.
He never isn't. I'm the Lord who heals you. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord my shepherd, your provider, everything. Praise God. It's a total personal commitment. Amen?
Amen.
I don't know if you could do a high five with Jesus, but yes, Lord. So, and then it says, see, as you rejoice in the Lord, let your gentleness be evident to all, because when you're just sitting there in the Lord's presence, see, who he is, it somehow infuses, marinates into us. There's an infusion that takes place. And do you remember about take my burden on you, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, because I'm humble and what in heart? Gentle. No, he wipes away every tear from our eyes, not with a Brillo pad or a boxing glove, but with a beautiful delicacy and sensitivity that made the butterflies and the powder on their wings is microscopic feathers. Isn't that amazing? What a very delicate, beautiful, sensitive, wonderful person that engages with us, tender. So that's why the gentleness, there's an impartation of gentleness as we draw on his gentleness, as we draw on his kindness, as we draw on his forgiveness, that then naturally will characterize that flavoring in who we are as people. That change happens. Peace. Stillness. The Lord is near. In fact, he's made his home in your heart and my heart.
Thank you.
Isn't that wonderful? The Lord loves you. You're the only one of you he's got. Some people might say just as well. But actually, there's a wonderful uniqueness about that. There's you and there's him. Perfect. And then together, the intimacy is together then learning like this. See that? It's like this. And then moving forward together in Jesus through each day, in that intimacy and closeness and processing each evening. So here we are. This is amazing, isn't it? Do not be anxious about anything except the government. Except. You know, sometimes, brothers and sisters, you hear people over the years saying, well, I know God cares for other people, but does he care about me? And, you know, I've got to carry this load. And don't know if it's a true story, but I heard a story once. Somebody got on a boat carrying two very heavy cases. They get on the boat, and they're still carrying them. Friend said, why are you still carrying the cases? And they said, I've got to. Why is that then? It's because the boat's got enough to carry already. You've got to work that one out. But we need to learn to let these things go. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Stephen, if I'm going to present this to you, what does it look like? Thank you very much. Have to let it go, don't you? Yes? Whatever load is you're carrying, present your request to God. And the promise is, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard, keep you in Christ Jesus. You okay so far?
Yep.
Have you understood this evening what I'm asking you to do, appealing to you to do, is each evening have a reflection time with the Lord, and you can use this as an example, remember. Rejoice in him, thank him for who he is to you. Be thankful for what's happened in the day. And then remember to bring your anxieties and so on. And there's more, this one. Shall we read that together? Middle, the underneath paragraph. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. What you think about and meditate on affects what you feel.
It does, yeah.
If you're thinking I'm rubbish and believe that, you'll feel rubbish. So we learn to think and believe truth. The truth is, I'm loved by Jesus.
Yes.
The truth is, miracle, I'm his child. The truth is, he cares for me perfectly. And he welcomes me as his special guest, like the prodigal. The best clothes. He runs down the road to meet us, the Father does, you know.
Yes.
I'm just wondering if we can demo that. You okay, Steve, up for that?
Yep.
If you're sort of walking like the prodigal, over there, sort of a bit sort of hangdog, and I'm the Father here. I'm probably old enough, but but this is figurative, all right. So Steve's coming, and the Father's looking out. There he is, hey, Steve, you're home.
Oh, I'm so pleased to see you. Oh, where have you been all these years?
Oh, come on. Quick, bring the best clothes. My boy's home. He was dead, now he's alive. Put a ring on his finger, put sandals on his feet. Go. Give him his responsibility. Clothe of Jesus, the best clothes.
Hallelujah.
Right? In the Middle East, the fathers do not want to be seen to run because it shows a lack of bloke composure and control. Father in heaven. When we pray, Father, you know the word comes up in Romans 8 about our adoption as sons. We use the word Abba. You go to Israel today, get off at the Tel Aviv airport, Ben Gurion airport, and you're coming out in the arrivals lounge, and there's all these families waiting for the dads to come in or whoever's on there. And they've been in business in London or something. These little kids come running up to their dad saying, Abba, Abba, Abba. And the dad goes, oh, yes. There's a lovely tenderness. So you see, in this, we see not just the Lord Jesus is a wonderful shepherd, but if you've seen me, you said you've seen the Father. And there's something in when we pray and bring our concerns to God, the Lord's prayer is our Father, Abba. There's a very great tenderness there. Praise be to the Lord, the God and Father. Or praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 1. The Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles. Amen. It's learning how to let him do that. So that's why it's good to think about whatever is noble, lovely, and true. Okay? We're wanted.
Yeah.
Praise God. So, can I suggest it's not a good idea to watch the 10 o'clock news tonight? Most of the stuff about Brexit isn't news, it's opinion.
That's right.
And you're then speculating about the what ifs. It could be that, or that, or that, or that, or that, and you worry about maybe that, maybe that, maybe that, but, and it's all 80 or 90% of our worries don't happen anyway. It's true.
Yes.
Most of them don't happen, and a lot of them we can't do anything about. So try and remember that and avoid that and focus, learn to think on good things. The difficulty, if we don't do this and have this closeness with the Lord, our need for comfort will try and find it somewhere else. Do you get that? And people will do that. They go to another relationship or they go on to something else, trying to find some way to fill that need for comfort, strength, affirmation. Which is why a relationship with Jesus is everything, okay? And learning how to grow in that. And then Paul says this, then it's doing. So as we learn to feed on who the Father and who Jesus is to us, so take hold of the truth of that, and immediately that makes a difference. And we offload the anxieties and everything else, okay? You okay with this so far?
Great.
Yes would be the right answer. But I've got a strange feeling here. There's some very level ground here in terms of, and this isn't gender specific, it's people of all. It's not even cultural. People, wherever you go in the world, have got the same need, which is why in Jesus and the gospel we have that universal remedy, because everyone needs to know they're loved. Everybody needs to know and be connected with Jesus. Let's read. This is fabulous, isn't it? Let's read that together. Praise be to the Lord, to God our Saviour, who daily bears our burdens. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. There are transformed him. Did you see that transformation of the bloke with the burden? There he was. He's got his box of bricks. Give it over. Receive. Hallelujah. What a relief.
Yes.
Remembering the cross, as we've sung about this evening, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you've been healed. You are like sheep going astray, but now return to the shepherd and overseer of your souls.
Yes.
The Lord is my shepherd. Whoa! I shall not be in want.
Yeah.
And just to breathe in and draw on his grace and love in the Spirit, that's what he wants for us. Let's read that together. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Does it say cast some?
No.
All. Right. Because
he cares.
You think Almighty God cares. Abba, Father. Wonderful. Right? You care for me. Sometimes it can be very moving, this.
Mm.
You know, when you're going through stuff and quantities of stuff. That's wonderful to know. And he knows how to sort it. Box of bricks, all right? Got an exercise for you with some sheets of paper along these lines. And what you can do with this is just, in a word, identify your headline anxieties, all right? It could be whatever. Health. You don't have to shout it out, but it could be all sorts of things. I'm worried about my relationship with somebody. And give that to Jesus. Whatever it is, oh, I've messed up, I'm forgiven, I need forgiveness. Give it all. You can identify these things, and it's good to have stillness in the evening to do so. So go on with each of these sheets for all of you, which has got some verses on that we've looked at, and the exercise at the bottom. And you could do it now, but it might be better to do this when you've got home enough time to think about it and reflect on the verses and memorize them. Okay? Can I suggest memorizing these? Instead of filling your head with gaming, if that's what you do, use the time that we've got wisely. You know, that plant to grow up needs to not be distracted by wealth, it says, is one of the other reasons Jesus says, riches I don't need because I'm okay. And the other one is the desire for other things. So we need to learn to cultivate thinking truth, meditating on God's words. You can use these to thank the Lord in your prayers. Thank you, Lord, that you care for me. Okay? You can do that with all of these. Use the scripture. Thank you that you're my shepherd, and so on. So there's the exercise. There's about 70 of these. There should be enough, I should hope. Either do them now, but what we can have is a time of worship. Just offer up to the Lord your response to what we've been sharing this evening. Okay? Because I believe in worship with the team. And thank you, Ali. There's an exchange happens in worship. We come to the Lord, and you can ask him, please show me today, Lord, what it is you want to work on in my life. Please make my relationship with you what you want it to be here on in. I surrender what's the past to you, but now I surrender the future to you. Today, I want to come and bow and trust like that sheep and ask you to anoint me afresh in your good purposes for me. All right? Are you okay with that? Good. That was a very quick response. Thank you. Bless you all. I appreciate this heart and head stuff, got to process stuff through, and lots to think about. Please use these sheets, can be very helpful. And in this time of worship, just, Lord, in your hands. And you might want to offer these folks, might be people up to the Lord, pray for them, includes the government, whatever those things are, those headline things and other things. Lord, it's me. Okay?
Great.
Father, thank you for your love for us and Jesus. Just pray a blessing on all of us here, Lord, that you'd help strengthen us in our walk with you as we learn each day to offer up to you the day and draw on you your refreshing, restoring love and power. Help us to rest well and be strengthened for today's, the things of for tomorrow's things as we walk with you through the day. Lord Jesus, in your hands, pray a blessing on everyone here in your name. just to remind all of us, when we sit at Jesus' feet, it's a covenant love. And you can picture that communion there, when he washed feet, it was in the context of communion. And we remember, if you think of the bread and wine, that the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. So whatever surfaces that isn't right, you know, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's a lovely passage in 1 John 1, 5 to 2, 2. The blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. Will the Father, the Lord will forgive us our sin and cleanse us from it all. And remembering, if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He's the atoning sacrifice, not just for our sins, but the sins of the whole world. Isn't that a wonderful truth? And our security, that there's that cleansing, which is a wonderful thing that the Lord has made provision for us. So sitting at his feet, if you have your evening quiet time, just perhaps remember in your mind there the communion, the bread and the wine. We feed on him, and there's a wonderful promise in the covenant love that he has with us.